He can't catch fish. He can't catch fish. He can't catch fish. He can't catch fish.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have a couple of very interesting people on the line with us today that we're going to be enjoying. We're going to start off with Kevin Walsh, who is the author of Perfect Catch, Family, Fishing, and Friends. And Kevin, we talk a lot of different things on Fish Talk Radio. Sometimes we don't even talk about fishing, but what we'd like to talk today about the concept of your book, which I've almost got through it, but it's about fishing, bringing the family together. So why don't you go ahead and start off, give us an idea of the concept of your book, and then when we get a chance, we'll talk more about you.
Well, like the other books that I wrote, it's not like I had a book idea. It just kind of found me, which I think is the way it ought to be. It's almost like when love finds you, that's when it was meant to be. But the premise behind the story, how it started, was my father, who's 74 years old and is retired and lives in Ledyard, Connecticut. He summoned my adult brothers and me to go with him on a fly fishing trip. He paid for it in advance. It was unrefundable, which was really it was a genius thing to do, because he then had the financial pressure on us and the fatherly pressure. He gave us several months' notice, so nobody could wriggle out of it. And it had been 5 years since we were all together, and Dad's in pretty good health, but he's 74, so we didn't think we had another 5 years to wait to where he might not be in good enough health to do this. So we looked at it as an opportunity to go catch some fish, but really reconnect as a family, going after steelhead trout, which were laying their eggs in the same place where they were born. So as the fish were retracing their roots, we were doing the same as family members. But also the difference this time around, we're brothers, we love each other, and we always have and always will. But I think we reconnected as friends in addition to family.
Well, that sounds very exciting, but why don't you kind of tell us more about what happened on the trip?
Okay, well, we went to the tributaries of the Great Lakes in western New York. And we were going after steelhead and brown trout. And we actually split up into pairs. I paired up with my older brother, Chris, who is 44 and lives in San Antonio, Texas. And my father went off with my younger brother, Mike, who is 37 and lives in Atlanta, Georgia. And the fishing was terrific. We had we were guided with some of our friends from Real Action Fly Fishing. And we hit it at a really good time. The fishing was terrific. We were on some private water in some places, and we were on some public water, and the fishing was great. I caught the fewest trout because I'm probably the worst fisherman of the family. But what was really nice in the end, on the final cast of the trip, my father landed a 32-inch steelhead on 4-pound test. And even people that have seen it, the picture, that know very little about fishing, they know that is a beautiful fish. And for the prize catch of that trip to end up in the hands of the man that had the wisdom to plan it and book it in the way that he did, for him to get the final catch and the best catch on the last cast of the trip, that's what makes it the perfect catch.
Well, I have to say, Kevin, you ruined it for me. I haven't finished the book yet. Now I know
how it
is.
But that's okay. Like, yeah. When you know what the ending is, it's like you're eager to get there. And
exactly.
You'll discover it how you discover it, John.
Right. Well, and the whole concept, you kind of describe the characters and your brothers that haven't seen each other for a while, and then kind of coming together on a fishing trip. And that's the real all-American story, isn't it, Rick?
Absolutely. And so is the family and friends part that Kevin referenced in his book. I mean, I'm psyched. I'm going to go grab a copy myself.
Okay.
I mean, my whole thing is about families and fishing, as you know, anyway.
Right. Well, things do, you know, it seems like they've changed in the last 20, 30 years, but they really haven't. There's a lot of people like Kevin and like Rick that are out there that they may not be a lot downtown in some of the big cities, but no matter where you are, you can go fishing. And what a perfect way, you know, to pass things on. And I think that, Kevin, you mentioned something about this. A lot of things that you may remember, but these are the kind of things that really do make an impression and you remember them the rest of your life.
Yeah, you really do, because nothing jogs your memory more than a long drive. And as we rendezvoused, my dad flew my brothers up from the South, and we met at his house in Connecticut. And I drove down from Massachusetts, where I live, and we all piled in my pickup truck. We threw our gear in the back, and we climbed in the extended cab. And as we were driving away, the funny thing was my dad was making a motion like he was going to drive, which made perfect sense to him, because really whenever we went somewhere, he always drove. But it's my truck, so we're now at the stage in life where there are changings of the guard. And I'm like, no, Dad, this is my truck. I'm driving. Why don't you just enjoy the ride? And we helped him in, because he has a little trouble with his leg. We helped him in the cab. And so he could really just enjoy the time with his sons. And as we were pulling out of the driveway, I mentioned earlier, it had been 5 years since we were all together, but it had been 30 years since we were all together in the same vehicle, really taking an appreciable drive. And believe me, when I started looking around in the rearview mirror and I could see my older brother Chris in the back seat, and as I'm looking at him and we make eye contact, I'm seeing my mother's face and his face, and we lost my mother 20 years ago. So you talk about things that jog your memory. In good times and bad, it's all coming together at this time. And when you have a 7-8 hour drive, you have a lot of time to think about the times you spent growing up. So even though we're all older now and we have our own families, we kind of got back to what it was like when we were kids and rediscovered our youth and friendship. And but the difference now is, like, back then I think we were competing for maybe our parents' attention and some social status and maybe for limited territory and toys, whereas we've now all gone off on our own way. And so when we get together, there's really nothing to fight about or compete over. We just enjoy each other's company. So we weren't friends when we were growing up. We were brothers. We loved each other. But now my brothers are my friends, which I think is the best part of the book and the best part of our relationships.
Well, something that we might think about is, you said that yourself that you planned out 6 months in advance. Now, this is the time of the year where probably a lot of fans and friendly are getting together. And this may not be the most opportune time to go fishing at Christmas, but it might be a time to remind you to go ahead and set a trip and plan on going out in the spring or summer.
I would think so, because you have the look right in front of your face. Now, we had Thanksgiving dinner last night in Connecticut, and I think everybody, without voicing it, you look around and you see how everybody's doing, what kind of health they're in, and who's happy, who might be struggling in their lives for different reasons. And thankfully for my dad, he realized, you know, maybe he knows something that we don't know, but he's not getting any younger and neither are we. And he just thought this trip that we took last Thanksgiving, I better get it now while we can, and because I don't want to regret, like, boy, we really should have taken this trip. So he was smart enough to do that, and we all realized what was at stake, and that was a big reason why nobody put up any kind of resistance in any way. Whereas if he didn't pay for it, if he didn't give us all that advance notice, if he had said, hey, take a look at your calendars, we're all busy, people working, demanding jobs, and having young families, and I think your listeners all know the demands on times, somebody would have found no way not to do it. But when it's paid for and it's that far in advance, and you know your dad in his sunset years, you got to make it happen. And thank God we did it. And, you know, here we are a year later, and he's still in good health, but you just never know at the time. So when the opportunity presents itself,
there you go. Just get out there and do it.
Or you got to manufacture it.
And we've only got about 30 seconds left in this segment. But, Rick, I know your family is growing up and kind of starting to leave the nest, but you still have, you're lucky enough to have some of your family working with you in what you do. And we're going to talk about what you do when we come back at the after this short break. But, you know, I'm sure Rick is said, just shaking his head. Yes, I don't see him, but I think he understands.
I'm
all
here.
That.
I'm on it.
No. But you know, the idea is that they're scattering. So now's the time. Let's take a quick break right now. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Kevin and Rick. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
The Santa Barbara Channel offers some of the most productive sport fishing in the world. Channel Island Sport Fishing offers the most boats to enjoy it. Call 805-383-1612. At Channel Island Sport Fishing, you pick the time and place you want to go. Nearshore halibut, calico bass, and rockfish, or fish the Channel Islands for white sea bass and yellowtail. For whale watching and private charters, Channel Island Sport Fishing in Oxnard has clean, modern boats with professional, friendly crews. Make your reservations for a deep sea adventure by calling 805-383-1612.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Lake Cachuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cachuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040. 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Cachuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island, minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at Costa Baja. BajaResort.com.
If you're looking for a magical and unique gift for someone special, look no further than the skies above you. Santa Barbara Soaring specializes in glider rides, making memories that last a lifetime. Experience Santa Barbara, the San Ynez Valley, and Central Coast with the silence of soaring. Purchasing a gift certificate is just a couple of clicks away. Visit SantaBarbaraSoaring.com. Pick your ride and the certificate will be sent directly to you just in time for the holidays. Let Santa Barbara Soaring help you provide the gift they'll never forget. SantaBarbaraSoaring.com.
The water on the lake is smooth as glass. We might catch a sunny, we might catch a bass. Oh, what do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Let's go fishing.
Come on, let's go fishing.
There in the water, look at him shine. There goes a big one, that one of mine. Play out my reel now.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have on the line with us, we have Kevin Walsh, author of The Perfect Catch, Family, Fishing, and Friends, and Rick Copeland from, well, Rick, I'll tell you what, why don't you let you tell us what you do in your 8-to-5 job.
Well, thanks for having me on, John. It's been a while. I've been on the show before. It's as I reach that old age of 60, and I've been doing this for 35 years, I sometimes forget what I'm doing. I think my business card, however, should say stress reduction for everybody else. What we do at Wilderness Unlimited is we're the largest manager of private properties for recreation on the West Coast. So there's about 80 properties in California, another 30 in Oregon, give or take, probably more. But the primary focus is to approach a landowner and assure them that we represent private responsible people. And then go through the hoops of making sure that's how it works. You know, members have to go through a screening process, and then we have the scheduled rules to which we expect people to follow. And we've not lost a ranch because of something a member's done. We want to keep it that way. So 30 years in, I have landowners that, you know, the economy's hit them hard, and it's a lot of our members have been pinched a little bit too. So we're still going. We pulled it in a little bit, and that's a good thing. We were able to upgrade some of the facilities that we have and focus on people that who have the wherewithal, and we're definitely middle class. But when you have the impetus to go in the outdoors, the biggest expense is driving down the highway. What we're offering them is the knowledge that the place they're going to get to, it's not going to be crowded. They can leave their fishing rod leaning against a tree, come back 2 days later, and it's still there. That's the advantage of being behind private property. So, of course, we manage the properties too. And from a fishery standpoint, we started catch-and-release fly fishing in California 30-some-odd years ago before the state had figured out that it was a decent concept. So we have the oldest fly fishing school held in the same place on the West Coast, and John's familiar with that. We do that Become an Outdoor Woman program now for like 15 years that's piggybacked off of our program. A lot of long rodders have been put out there, but the reminiscing at the end of this calendar year as we look forward to the next year, I put out this big calendar, and I'm doing this right now, and I look at all these events and programs we do because we have a nonprofit foundation, which is totally contribution driven, by the way, if you find someone who wants to give them a hand.
There you go.
But the nonprofit's the one that runs all of the outreach programs. We do numerous physically challenged youth fisheries during the year that are not for just members. It's just members that have that push that they want to help us do these things. And we do the International Sportsman's Expo coming up at Lucy's Pond. I think we've been doing that 20-some-odd years. So there's always enough people who want to help put back because that's our future. So it's bringing in the kids. And you see the big articles this week released on women in the outdoors being the growing segment within the hunting fraternity/sorority.
Right.
So it's where our push is. Well, when I review this last year, I just got to go back to my own story, and that's my two daughters, which John's met. I've taken them in the outdoors from day one. And as soon as they hit the woods, it was them against me, everything's fine. And then when you get home, they fight like cats and dogs.
Right.
But I have a granddaughter now, my youngest daughter, and we took her fishing, and I bought her a Toy Story fishing rod first Christmas, you know, just as a symbolic thing. And it sat around, and she knew she had it. And then this year she heard she was going fishing. Of course, I'd bought her a better one with like a Shakespeare reel on it, right? Well, I get up to this lake, and this brand new Shakespeare reel breaks. Well, let's forget what the model was, you know. But anyways, it doesn't work. She just marches into her tent. She comes out with this Toy Story thing. She's 3.5 years old. We'll use this. I'm thinking, like, it's all plastic. It's not going to catch
right.
a fish. Lo and behold, man, she caught a fish with that thing. You know,
now
I did
hooked.
A sliding sinker and left the line loose. And I said, when that line moves, you move, right?
Yeah.
She hooked that fish and reeled it in. You
right.
think the world ended.
There you go. And I assume that, Kevin, you've already got your little ones out in the water and starting to make some memories where they're going to take you fishing one of these days.
Yeah, I have a 10 and a 12-year-old daughter, and they love to fish. They don't like to share me, so the outings when I try to both take them together, they don't like to share me. But when I go out with them, they love it. They're a little squeamish about taking the fish off the hook, but we're working up to that. But I'll tell you, I can tell you many times fishing for largemouth bass
okay.
down in Florida, where it's pretty easy to catch them.
Yep.
You just kind of throw a plastic worm out there, and I'd hear like a happy scream
well,
from the other side of
yeah,
the pond.
Yeah, the fishing is a great way to do it, but catching keeps them excited, especially for littler ones. We're going to have to wrap up this segment, you guys. Rick, why don't you give us some quick information on Wilderness Unlimited, how to get in touch with you?
The website. Best way is probably www.wildernessunlimited.com.
Wildernessunlimited.com. That's fantastic.
That's
and, Kevin,
simple.
If you want to reach your book, I got it. I pulled it off of Amazon for my Kindle.
Amazon's the easiest place. Everybody remembers that.
So just go to Perfect Catch, and then the rest of it will fall into place.
The PerfectCatchBook.com, that'll take you there, too.
Great. Hey, you guys, I appreciate you coming on, and, you know, we got the whole spirit. Let's get everybody together outside for a change.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks, we appreciate that. Let's do this again.
Anytime.
Okay. All right. We appreciate that. We are in right now. We've got a fish story from Joe at Lake Comanche that is on the line right now. Joe, are you there?
Yeah. How you doing, John?
We're doing fantastic. Hey, I got a little bit of an email. Something that's a little bit interesting. I want you to talk about that first because it's one of those stories that we know is true, but strange things happen out in the water, don't they?
Yeah, strange enough, it was the biggest catfish we had caught here at Lake Comanche this year. It came out of our trout pond here on the South Shore. It was a Chaveng just this past weekend caught a 17.32-pound catfish.
That's impressive.
Very, yeah. He was actually fishing for trout, mm-hmm. but wasn't really catching anything. He was telling me his family they brought along with him was catching their limits and stuff, but he just couldn't get any trout. So he switched to some salmon eggs, and his rod just disappeared. He said he spent like a good 10 minutes reeling the thing in, and yeah, it was just a monster catfish.
Well, there's a little bit more to the story than that, too, isn't there?
I believe...
Well, I thought that fish grabbed his rod for a little while.
Yeah, he said, like you said, his rod disappeared.
What do you mean disappeared? It's like out of his hand in the water?
Yeah. He said okay. that he said he saw the rod in the water and the fish still on there, so picked it up, spent like 10 minutes reeling the thing in.
Oh, wow. There you go. Now that's a fish story. So he got something a little bigger than he planned on it, pulled it right out of his hands.
Yeah.
Well, that just goes to show, the more time you spend on the water, you know, strange things happen, you just never know when.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, obviously you got catfish up there and trout, so give us a little bit of an idea about, you know, what it's like at Lake Comanche and where you are.
Well, it's out in central California where the lake is right on the border of the Calaveras and Amador County lines. It's a good hour south of Sacramento, about 3 hours east from San Francisco. And it's a full-service lake. We have North Shore and South Shore, campsites, full hookup RV sites, cottages, boat rentals, houseboat slips, and even mobile home spaces available for rent year-round. And it's been great weather lately. It's been sunny just about every day, not too cold. And, yeah.
Well, and if somebody's looking for you and they decide they want to do, is it a good place to go when it's cold?
Yeah, it's really good fishing through most of the winter, I got to say. It's still really pretty. It doesn't get too chilly.
Well, too chilly, I guess, is a comparative thing. I know there's a lot of people that are enjoying the holidays on the East Coast right now that not too chilly means it's above zero.
Very true. Yeah. And I guess, I've being in California my whole life, I guess I compare it to, you know, the sunshiny weather because a few degrees above zero, that's unimaginable for me.
Mm-hmm. Good. Hey, you're pretty good at this radio stuff.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I appreciate it.
And if someone wants to come there, you know, do they need to bring their own accommodations, or what all can you offer them?
Well, we do have pretty much anything you'd need for your fishing setups here in the store. We sell rods, lines. I want to say we had the same kind of rod that Shaw caught this catfish on. It was a Loomis 7-foot 6-inch worming rod. But we have. If you were camping out here, you might want to bring some amenities, but we have our convenience store open year-round as well. So, I mean, if you're going to come here on a last-second whim or if you want to pack for a week or two, either way.
Okay, well, I know that I'm embarrassed because I didn't write down your phone number on my call list, and I found you real easy. All you got to do is type in Comanche, but the spelling is a little bit different than what some people might think. So how do you spell it?
Yeah, it's not the easiest spelling. It's Camanche.
Camanche. Okay. And just go Google that and then to give a call up there, get reservations, and you can enjoy the whole winter.
Oh, yeah.
All righty. Hey, thank you very much. Great story.
Of course, yeah. And thank you for having me on.
Right.
Also, for the listeners, be sure to check us out on Facebook, too.
Perfect.
And there's our website, ComancheRecreation.com.
Perfect.
And they can also give us a call at 209-763-5121.
Good job, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then we do still have Kevin on the line with us. We're going to see if we can let him stick around for a little while and carry him through the next session. We're going to be going to a break here just momentarily. Kevin, we appreciate you hanging in there.
Good to be with you, John.
Okay, well, maybe we'll talk about some fishing. Who knows?
But, sounds good.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break one more time. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan, and we do have Kevin Walsh on the line with us, and we'll be right back with you.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Want to make your drive more exciting? It starts with Shell V Power Premium Gasoline. It's Ferrari's choice for improved performance. Shell V Power removes an average of 60% of performance-robbing gunk on intake valves left by low-quality premium gasolines. And it starts with your very first tank. The result is the kind of performance that gives you more excitement behind the wheel. Choose Shell V Power Premium Gasoline today and let the excitement begin.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have, Kevin Walsh, who's an outdoor writer, that just a book that I'm almost finished with. But Kevin, you gave the end of the book, but apparently it really doesn't matter. It's about how you get there, not where you go, right?
Well, I tell you what, John, even when I tell people about my book, I'm very generous with the information. I tell them the beginning, the middle, and the end. Because I never liked when movie stars just dangle carrots and says, oh, but you have to wait, you have to go see it.
Right.
I just think if you're generous with the information, then people, they'll reward you for that, and they discover it on their own terms.
Okay, well, why don't we, right now, we're going to talk to Channel Island Sport Fishing, and we're obviously off the coast of California, one of the great spots, and when we come back, we'll talk to you, and maybe you can give us a little bit more about fishing in your part of the country. Right now, right now we do have Channel Island Sport Fishing. This is Fish Talk Radio.
Hello.
Okay. I'm sorry, is this Amy?
It is.
Oh, wow, we got you.
We did.
Yes, we did. Well, we're glad. And again, sorry, Amy, Grizz isn't here. I know that you'd like to be abused by him, but, but you know, this is a beautiful time of the year. I know that the The rockfish are going to be coming to an end, I guess, in another month or so. For a short period, let them give them a chance to rest and grow for a little bit. But it's no matter what time of the year, there's always a reason to come on out to this part, especially the people that are maybe a little bit farther north of us and east of us possibly that are kind of looking for someplace that's at least where there's no snow in the ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It's gorgeous here. A little bit breezy, but it's beautiful weather, nice and sunny.
Mm-hmm. And again, we talked last week, I guess, and the week before about the reason that it is the way that it is, because it's the Alaska Current and the California Current coming together with the beautiful Channel Islands that are right in front of you. Yeah. So give us an idea what is happening this time of the year.
Like you said, there's just a bunch of rockfish still coming in, still pretty steady. We got about another month of rock fishing, lingcod, whitefish, and then give it a rest for 2 months. So, okay. Yeah, it's still lobster hooping. We still have lobster trips going out every weekend. It's still pretty steady around here.
Right. Well, that is a little bit different. Now, lobster that you get are a little bit different than other parts of the country. These are spiny lobster, and I like them, but I like some of the other ones too. But apparently the spiny lobster are very expensive because the Japanese and a lot of other people over there think of them as a real delicacy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And these don't pinch you, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I've never met a lobster I didn't like, though. I like them all.
Yes, absolutely. And do you have a quick tip on what to do with them if you bring one home?
Cook it.
There you go.
Lots of butter. You can never go wrong with butter.
Yeah. And then, well, just kind of cook them until the meat turns white. And, a little tip that cooking to me is important. And the idea of putting something in the microwave is not my first choice on anything.
Never.
But surprisingly enough, lobster works really well. You put the tail in and just takes a short time and it comes out perfect. And normally I wouldn't recommend it, but it's a quick, easy trip.
Well, I'll have to remember that.
Okay.
That'd probably be really convenient when you're out on the boat.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Want to cook them right there.
Okay. And we also have Kevin. It's on the East Coast. That's an author about fishing. Maybe he has a couple of questions for you, Kevin.
Well, are you guys?
There you go. Kevin, we've got Amy on the line from Channel Island Sport Fishing, and it's a little bit different area than you fish. Maybe you can have a couple of questions for her about what it's like out here.
Well, you tell me what's running off the coast of the Channel Islands. I've been scuba diving there, and I've had a look, but I'm wondering what's biting on the lines that you're dropping in.
You know, a little bit of everything right now. This is a great time of year for fishing. They've had just phenomenal numbers of lingcod come up and whitefish and monster sheepheads. And it's not just us. I've seen them up and down the coast. A lot of private boaters getting them, too. And they're just going crazy right now. I think they know it's time for the season to be over, too.
Oh, okay. They're hiding out. But those sheephead, and Kevin, have you ever caught one?
I've never caught one, but I have seen one before, and that's on the list. I'll put that up there. The bigger body of the water, the bigger the catch potential.
There you go. Well, that's true. You got maybe you get some more pearls for us. And sheephead are very, very tasty and very prized, and a lot of people think of them a lot like lobster.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
That's most of their diet is shellfish, so they taste just like them. They're really, really good.
They
do. I like to cook mine with Sprite, and it actually makes it taste just so sweet. The meat's really delicious.
Right. It really is true, Kevin. Wouldn't you admit, when they say you are what you eat? Well, game is certainly that way. And, those ones that they eat that kind of fish, they're really good. Just a quick aside, I remember some years ago when we were in Alaska, we got some bear meat, and it was eating a lot of fish, and that stuff was as stinky, as foul as we tried everything, ended up throwing it away. The ones that eat berries, I guess, is okay, but what the fish eat, we don't really think about it that much, but if you're going to be eating them, it does make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, Amy, why don't you give us some information about Channel Island Sport Fishing, and if someone wants to come in and meet with you or talk to you on the phone, how do they do that?
You can give us a call at the landing. Someone's almost always here. It's 805-382-1612, or look us up online, ciscos.com.
Ciscos, CISCOS?
That's it.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, we certainly hope you enjoy the rest of this year, and if anybody's looking for a reason to sneak out to the West Coast, there's one of them.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot more than Disneyland around here.
That's right.
Okay. Amy, you're awesome. Thank you very much for taking some time.
Absolutely. anytime. Thanks for having me.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Hey, Kevin, you mentioned that you've been out here diving. It really is a very, very popular place to dive because they've got, you know, the mountains kind of come up real quick and real steep, so you've got the drop-offs and ledges and kelp. It's a little bit dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, get caught in that stuff, but it is a beautiful place. But why don't we talk a little bit about what your area and what kind of things you find, and can you still go fishing there, or do you have to take an auger with you?
It's starting to get a little bit cold, I'll tell you what. Before the Thanksgiving holiday, we had, if you're a fan of NFL football and you happen to watch the Patriots coming back against, they were down 24-0 to Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos.
Oh,
they
yeah.
said the wind chill was 6 degrees, not a chance. It was below zero. It was cold. So it looks like winter's coming early around these parts.
Right. That's right. You do have, besides writing, you're actually a television star, aren't you?
I'm trying to be. I don't know that I am. Some people tell me I am, but I've got the best job in the world. I go to all the New England sporting events, the New England Patriots games, the Red Sox, the Boston Celtics, and the Boston Bruins, and they pay me to do that. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to do it. And it's if you have to work for a living, and I do, I'm not independently wealthy. This is a great way to go. I'm very blessed.
Perfect. Well, if can you want to make any prognostications? This is John.
Well, I tell you what, the Patriots, they've lost a lot of players on defense, but when you have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, you always have a chance, and not a lot of other teams can say that.
Okay. Now, well, hopefully you're going to be getting out here. The areas that you're going fishing, we kind of started a little bit, it's getting cold, but is there any winter fishing other than ice fishing?
The ice fishing thing, I think there are two different mentalities about that. There are some people that are really in it for the fishing, and then other people are in it for the party. I enjoy a good party as much as anybody else, but I not so much that I would go sit on a frozen lake in New Hampshire and freeze my tuchus off. But if you know the place to drill into the ice, and you're right above the honeypot, you can pull a lot out fast. And I know people that have. But once the mercury goes below 32, I pretty much call the season.
Well, yeah, you can kind of take a little bit of time off and then start getting your out. And maybe, you know, why don't you mention something else real quick in your book about making your own equipment and actually a bamboo fly fishing rod?
That's what my dad does. And, you know, God bless him. He has been retired for about 10 years now, and he has made at least 30 bamboo rods, one for each of his 20 grandchildren.
Wow.
I have two of them,
uh-huh.
And it takes him about 60 hours, but he has the time to do it. He has the craftsmanship, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. They're so they're functional, but they're so beautiful. You almost want to be careful where you take it because you don't want to nick it up because it's just a piece of art. And for him to share that with us is just mm-hmm. really special.
Well, I think that part of that too is, you know, when you pick up the rod, it brings back, that in itself can bring back a lot of memories.
It does, because I think and the fact that he can build them, like every time I look at it, I know it was crafted in his hands, and I learned my fishing through him, as I think most of the anglers do. But for him, it was, he didn't learn from his father, he learned from a neighbor. And the fishing guy that took us on our special trip to the tributaries of the Great Lakes in Western New York, it was mm-hmm. the same story. And neither man knew the background of each other's entrance into fishing, that it was through a neighbor. So that was another nice surprise.
Okay. And you want to give some tips on doing that?
What's that?
Okay, sorry about that. I think we're going to miss it. I got to get back to this one. I'll tell you afterwards. Okay. Now, well, hopefully you're going to stick around with this for a little bit, and if we don't get to cover everything, we're going to bring you back. But between now and the end of the year, is there any, well, of course, you can always go to the coast. What's the East Coast fishing? Is there anything going on there in the wintertime?
Yeah, there's still some stripers that are going, and usually into October you might have some false albacore. That's at that's out in the ocean. But you have some of the salmon that are swimming from the ocean up in the streams, and then you have them swimming out of the landlocked ones that are in the Great Lake.
Well,
there's always something.
Right. Real quickly, Perfect Catch. Just Google that, and you want to read it. It's a fascinating book, and we really appreciate you having coming in, Kevin. We're going to take a break. Thanks for tuning in to Fish Talk Radio.